The text of the First Amendment begins with the words, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." The variety of faiths in the U.S. is broad, and as our society becomes more diverse, including with regard to religions, we may be under the impression that it wasn't the case in the early days of the country. But the new book and related Smithsonian exhibition, Objects of Devotion, Religion in Early America, illustrates how much religious faith has touched Americans. Peter Mansot is the author of the book and curator of American religious history at the National Museum of American History at the Smithsonian, and he joins us. Peter, would we be surprised by how diverse the U.S. was in the early years when it comes to religion?
Most Americans would be very surprised by just how diverse religion in early America was. There was not only a great number of various Protestant denominations competing for church members, there were also non-Christian traditions here that have been here from the beginning, and even before the beginning of the first interactions between Europeans with the New World. The English and Spanish settlers who arrived in what would become the United States arrive into a land of great religious diversity among the Native American peoples. They, of course, bring their own traditions from Europe, and soon African populations, brought here by force, are bringing at least a dozen traditional African religious systems, as well as Islam. So over time, this diversity of religious traditions creates a situation in which, in order to have a society in which all of these groups are going to live together, there needs to be some kind of institutionalized religious liberty. There cannot be any one established church. And so this is the circumstance which is created at the founding of the nation. And contrary to some fears that the disestablishment of an official church would lead to the decline of religion as a cultural and moral force, really the opposite happens. And we have great flowerings and explosions of religious devotion known as these two periods of Great Awakening in the 18th and 19th century. And that sets the stage really for the great religious diversity we have in the country today.
Is there evidence that sometimes these objects would lead to, even in a country that wants to have religious freedom, that it has led to conflicts in even the short history of our country, starting, if you want to start with the colonies or not? Do some of these objects have negative connotations for some people?
Well, certainly the objects tell stories of conflict. We think of a moment like the Puritans. There's a way of looking back at early American religious history and thinking that it begins with the Puritans and the Pilgrims, and here are communities that wanted to start completely theologically homogeneous societies. And yet from the very beginning of those experiments, disagreement was part of the process. So one of the objects in the exhibit and in the book that is a personal favorite of mine does not seem like a religious object at all, at least not ostensibly. This is a small sundial compass that was used by Roger Williams. Roger Williams was an English preacher who came to the colonies in Massachusetts and was quickly exiled for his heretical ideas. He was forced to leave Massachusetts Bay Colony as well as the Plymouth Plantation and wandered through the forests of southern New England with only this sundial compass in his hand to find out where he might be going. He eventually purchased land from the Narragansett Indians and established the colony of Providence, which would later become the state of Rhode Island. And it was there that this seedbed of religious liberty was planted, thanks in part to his own experience of having been made to leave colonies because of his beliefs. So here's an object, this sundial compass. This does not seem religious, and yet it's a part of an incredibly important story of religion in early America.
How much of a connection do we still feel here in the 21st century to many of the objects you write about?
One way of looking at these objects is seeing just the incredible diversity there. This diversity is suggestive of the need for negotiation and compromise between religious groups from a very early time. And this is the real connection to our religious lives today. We have many more religious traditions in the United States today than were present in early America. And yet the process and the need for communication and negotiation remains. So seeing that these communities learn to live together in some way over time in our past, I think it can be hopeful for our future.
Does it show a strength to our history, a strength to our foundation, that we're able to have this combination of diverse objects that people, frankly, wouldn't have understood or wouldn't have known about, that there are so many stories to tell in a country that, frankly, is not very old?
Well, looking at them from the distance of history, it really gives us the opportunity to see how these objects interacted with each other. So, for example, there are saddlebags used by an abolitionist preacher by the name of Freeborn Garrettson. Freeborn Garrettson was a man who was a slave owner himself, but then one day he had a religious experience. He was reading his Bible, and he heard the voice of God tell him to free his slaves. He did so, and then he became someone whose life's work was to preach on slave plantations and convince other slave owners that they should do the same. Well, he was preaching at a Delaware plantation one Sunday, and he moved a slave owner so much that he decided he would allow his slaves to purchase their freedom. And one of those individuals who gained his freedom at that point was a man named Richard Allen, who goes on to found the African Methodist Episcopal Church in Philadelphia. So here are two different religious traditions, the Methodist tradition of Freeborn Garrettson and the African Methodist Episcopal tradition of Richard Allen. And these two men did not know each other, but in the exhibit and in the book, we're able to show their objects in relation to each other and show how they're part of a broader story. So presenting objects in this way, allowing them to have conversations in a way those who use them might never have had in life, it does allow us to see some of these deep connections and to present really the closest possible connection to those living moments of history as we can.
There are people who've expressed concern about the current administration's travel ban and that the countries that are singled out have Muslim background. Does that seem like it fits in some ways with U.S. history and U.S. conflicts with religion, or does it seem contrary to that history?
It's interesting. I've just been going back and looking at the controversy around John F. Kennedy's election to the presidency in 1960. And at the time, it was a great challenge for some to accept the idea that a Catholic might become president. And when he sought to address this directly during the campaign for the presidency, he makes the point that targets of our religious suspicions are constantly changing. So he said, I may be a target now as a Catholic, but in our past, targets have been Jews, they have been Quakers, and someday, he says, it may be you. It's important to remember that every generation struggles with religious difference. And looking at our past, we find that we are able to find a way through and to find a way for many different and competing religious perspectives to be part of the American experience.
Peter Manceau, author of Objects of Devotion, Religion in Early America. Peter, thanks.
My real pleasure. Thank you so much.